This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to have Adam Burke, our managing editor, going to have our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds. That conversation, those are still to come here on this hour. But Jensen, we have to figure out if it's going down, what went up first. Yes, it's our edition of Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
Jensen, I have won the toss, and I'm going to be aggressive and elect to receive this week and take that ball first. And my first recipient of Stock Up, it's San Diego. Oh, I said it. The LA Chargers. I got to put a quarter in the penny jar for San Diego. You know, I look at the Chargers and I go, this is a 10-win team. This team is 10-4. We're not talking about Jim Harbaugh for coach of the year. And I get it. But they're playing with a quarterback who's basically got one hand. They've been playing with a patchwork offensive line all year, losing their two stud tackles for one in Slater, who hasn't played at all this year. Joe Alt, who was hurt, came back, and then they lost him for the year. You can make the argument two of their most important players not named Justin Herbert. They've lost all their running backs, right? And now Amarian Hampton has finally come back here towards the tail end of the year. But to piecemeal that thing together the way they have to be a 10-win football team and go defense first and have a winning mentality, that stems from the head coach. And that goes down into the organization, Jesse Minter, as the defensive coordinator. I don't know if he's going to be the next guy at Michigan or not. But, Jensen, there's a lot to like, because when I look at the team, I go, are they really that good? They're 10-4. Good teams figure out ways to win. I cannot believe they're underdogs in Dallas this week against the Cowboys. Stock up. It's the Chargers. And don't look now, Denver, but they're not out of the rear view yet in the AFC West.
Love it. I will also go with home field advantage in college football playoff games and the on-campus first round. Absolutely love it. The standalone we've got on Friday night, that's exactly why you put the onus on the regular season. Hey, what a crazy revelation here, Dave. When you play really good teams and you beat those teams, your ranking goes up. I know that's crazy to think about. But boy, and you stack up that kind of a resume, you should earn the reward by being able to be one of the higher ranked teams to host those games. Joel Klatt, great friend of the show, top five worst take on the March Madness being the dumbest tournament going. I got news for you, pal. What you're about to see here Friday and Saturday, that's what it's about, right? The on-campus. And then maybe you extend it a week. Could you imagine Ohio Stadium? Could you imagine Bloomington, Indiana? Could you imagine Georgia between the hedges at this point in the season if those teams were rewarded by not having to play a neutral site game, their first playoff game? College football playoff committee, hear me out. Maybe the first two rounds on campus. And then if you want the semifinals in those specific places, then that's what you do.
Commissioner Lewis, I actually like that idea a lot. I'll tell you what part of Saving Private Ryan that gets me every single time. It's the last scene on the bridge where Matt Damon's character runs over to Tom Hanks's character. Well, what's that, sir? Earn this. Earn it. That's it. You got to earn these things in college football playoff. You got to earn them in the NFL, too. They don't give you anything for free in the NFL. And right now, the Chicago Bears are earning everything they're getting. This is a 10-win football team as well, kind of like the Chargers. And I look at it, I go, oh, Cowboys lost at Chicago way back in week three. What a bad loss. No. They've earned it. They're just better right now. So, Ben Johnson, you're making those guys believe in the Windy City. When you're waking up today, you can look at this team and go, all right, there's still some holes that we got to figure out. They're physically tough. They run the football as good as anybody in the NFL, with a couple guys that maybe you never thought that Swift could resurrect his career. And Monongai is a rookie. He's been absolutely fantastic in this backfield. So we talk about Caleb Williams all the time. I got to give him some props too, because he's starting to figure out a way to manage that offense, get a running game, get physical, right now up front with maybe the best revamped offensive line in all of football. When you can beat people up front and when you can be physically dominant like the Bears can do, that's old style Chicago football. They're earning a lot of my respect and their stock is a 10-win team. I think the Packers are in for a real slobber knocker on Saturday there in Chicago. Their stock to me, Jensen, it's going up.
All right, no better stock than this time of year, Dave, because of the treats and everything that you get to indulge in as far as, you know, baked goods and things that you get from mom or grandma or anyone that really takes, you know, baking seriously. Stock up to Ann Michael May, wife of Drake May, and all the renditions that she's had each and every day of this viral TikTok sensation that she has created called Bakemas. I can tell you that I don't count calories this close to Christmas. I take in all the baked goods, anything you want to give me to try, absolutely here for it. Well done has raised the stock of not only Drake May off the field, but that offensive line, when you need a little insulation this time of year, Dave, there's nothing like some Christmas cookies, some gingerbread men to make you feel right at home and make sure that her quarterback stays protected at all costs.
I love it. I'm more of a Chevy Chase guy in Christmas Vacation. I'm in that spiked eggnog. This is good. This is good. The Average Joe contest, sponsored by Edge Boost, kicks off quarter four this week. It's a great time to jump in if you haven't yet. Each week, you're going to make 7 picks, NFL or college, for your shot at $500 or $1,000 if you have an Edge Boost account. And with the new quarter underway, you're also playing for airfare for 2 to Las Vegas, a 2-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and an in-studio guest appearance on a VEASAN show. It's free to play, and you can enter anytime at VEASAN.com/JOE. What goes up must come down. I talk about earning things. Dallas Cowboy fans, we haven't earned anything this year. 6-win team. Okay. So I hear people saying, oh, if they were in the same division as the Buccaneers and the Panthers, they'd be, oh, we should redo it and you should restack them. No. Criteria is good in the NFL. We've got it for a reason. And Dallas, your stock is down. Look in the mirror, take ownership over this, and don't do it next year. Those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. You weren't good enough. You lost at home to Arizona. You lost at home to Minnesota. When you lose those games at home, you don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. I'm a tough love guy, Jensen, even for my team. We don't bend the rules. We don't do what they do in college football. You got to be good enough to get in. And right now, Dallas, you haven't been good enough and your stock is down.
Yeah, and it was stock down too on the amount of NFL ACL injuries this year. Oof. It has really become an epidemic, and especially to the stars. Again, look no further than what we had transpire with Patrick Mahomes and with Micah Parsons over the weekend. But it is really something that has sparked some debate here about, you know, what can be done. And Dave, I go back to our international series, by the way, completely dominant job by us, 4-0 in millions in picking the international games. How we don't have these billion-dollar franchises investing in field turf the way that these premier soccer organizations do in Europe, I will not understand why. Perhaps what's happened here to two incredibly star-studded players will lend organizations and the NFL as a whole to really attack this. I get non-contact injuries, but listen to anyone who's played at the Meadowlands. Where it's like, my career has been so inextricably shortened because of the playing surface. Get it right, NFL. And also, guys, do what you have to do to strengthen those ligaments in the offseason so that you can get back to as close to 100% as possible year in and year out.
Yeah, I'll just say, hashtag no kings. We don't have them here in the United States, but we are the kings of Europe. You and I undefeated in Europe. We are the kings. Put a crown on our heads. We should have one. Stock downs on the criteria in the college football playoff. I got to be honest with you. I think the committee is rooting for Alabama. I think they're rooting for Miami. They're rooting for James Madison to play well. They're rooting for Tulane because there is no criteria. So they're going to be challenged if those teams go in there and lay flat on their faces and go, see, this is why you got it wrong. And again, we're going to expand this thing, people. It's not what I want or what I think we might need. That doesn't matter. We're going to do it because the criteria is so loosely based, if at all, that they're going to expand this thing because they can't get it right. And when you can't get it right, Jensen, you don't know what else to do. You just expand it and say, all right, we'll just let everybody in, because the heart is what makes it good in the NFL. And right now in college football, you don't have that. And that's why you got a big problem.
All right, Dave, this time of year, one of the worst things happens, and it is like clockwork. Terrible drivers. I don't care what part of the country you're in. For whatever reason, when things go awry weather-wise, this part of the season, and we ever, everyone watching and listening in the Midwest, in the Northeast, some of you people in the South that have never seen the white stuff that comes down and freezes on the road. 10-2, follow the speed limit, get out of the speed lane when you should not be in there. When the light turns from red to green, you pass the gas pedal and you go. Terrible drivers at this time of year.
I will say, I try to keep my patience with bad drivers. You all know who you are, right? Jensen's pointing it out. You should know. Again, I talk about with the Cowboys taking ownership, looking in the mirror. If you're one of those people Jensen just described, just know it and be better. That's all we're saying. Just be better. You can correct this, bad drivers. It's possible. So I try to have patience with you on the roadway, right? I try not to get upset. I try to laugh about it a little bit. But I will say, I'm with Jensen. It irks me. I'll tell you, we have one more honorable mention. And we will be living it up with Ja Rule next. Why would he be in the program? We'll discuss it next here on VSiN by the Book.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We're back, VSiN by the Books. Gonna get to our best bets here in just a second. But if you want to bet smarter this holiday season, VSiN's got the perfect gift for you or the sports better in your life right now. You can take advantage of our holiday special. Get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. It's going to give you everything we do. It's daily best bets from all of our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and weekly wide receiver and quarterback matchups, and 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Complete coverage of every major sport. How about this? All the way through football, March Madness, the NFL Draft. Can't wait for the Masters already in April. Plus, you're going to get our full postseason betting guides, expert picks, including college football playoffs, and the Super Bowl. Don't miss this limited time holiday special. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Unwrap your betting edge today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here, as we were doing stock up and stock down in the last segment. Your last stock down was erratic drivers this time of the year. We mentioned Ja Rule. Yeah, the rapper, Ja Rule. Living it up, say what? Maybe the most erratic driver that we've seen so far in 2025 came at the Derek Jeter Charity Golf Tournament. Ja, take it away.
I gotta ignore y'all right now. I gotta put this thing up.
That is the, that is stock down, my man. Okay, now look, Jensen, you can make the argument that is this on Ja Rule, or is this on the people that close to Ja Rule lining up to take this drive at the charity event hosted by Derek Jeter?
This is stage fright, man. This is not being able to kind of hold your mud and be able to strike it clean. You could see in the takeaway. The takeaway was so fast. His heart, I wish we had a heart rate monitor on him. His beats per minute were probably like 150, 160. Oh. That dude, he's never been more frightened in his life with all those people watching.
I will say this. I have been in that position before. years ago with my brother Steve in a family golf outing and my dad. My brother Steve, not known for his golf prowess. So he's asked me, he's like, David, what's going on? I said, Steve, look, so I'm up there in the tee box with him. And I said, hey, just keep your head down and I'll watch where the ball goes. Okay. So as I proceed then to walk kind of where camera was there for Ja Rule, so I'm walking in almost that angle. It feels like an impossible angle as I go back to the golf cart. Steve somehow shanks it a la Ja Rule. If you're watching here in FanDuel Sports Network, and Jensen, the ball comes right at me. I'm in the cart. I put my leg up and it hits me right on the ankle. It's the most painful thing I've ever experienced. I had a lot of the expletives that came out right afterward. My brother felt terrible. And I, you know, it blows up like a softball, my ankle.
Softball.
Oh. Take the shoe and the sock off. What do you think Dad said to me? Shake it off.
Walk it off. Yep.
Let's play
walk
golf.
It off.
We got
Marine.
That's it. And so I had to play on with basically 1 foot. And I still kind of like the Ja Rule clip. I don't know how it's like physics always escape me, how that could actually hit my ankle. But oh, I hope that person was okay, because that is a screaming line drive, Jensen, coming right at you, man. And there is no worse pain than what I experienced then. You could have some painful losses, but that is a different kind of pain coming from Ja Rule. So he qualifies in stock down for the bad driver. That's for sure. Let's get to our best bets here, Jensen. And you had a couple winners out there yesterday for everybody that watched here. Certainly our friends over at FanDuel Sports Network as well. What do you have in pocket already today on a Wednesday?
All right. We gave it out yesterday for our friends watching and listening on FanDuel Sports Network Ohio. It took overtime. Fire the cannon, Blue Jackets fans. They win it against the Ducks 4-3. Mentioned if you wanted to play a little Moneyline parlay for some more Christmas money to parlay the Jackets Moneyline yesterday with the Cavaliers Moneyline today. Gave out this two-unit play today. If you didn't get on it, it's up to 5.5. Cavaliers minus 4.5, our two-unit play from yesterday. Still think you can get that. And if you shop around, Circa still has that available. Love this in a bounce-back spot for the Cavaliers. Couple of days to get the offense right for Kenny Atkinson's crew. If you want to look at the under, 243.5 might be a little play. I think I'm going to get on that, but my bigger play, again, Cavaliers offensively, I think they do enough to overwhelm that Bulls defense. I think they get it home, Cavs minus 4.5.
And again, this is why we do the show each and every day. Earlier, if you were watching here in FanDuel Sports Network, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, we were doing a futures exercise here, kind of looking in the crystal ball going forward. I did get home on a small fun play for me on the Rams at 30, excuse me, on the Buccaneers rather, at 30-1 to win the NFC. Now that's predicated on the Buccaneers, of course, winning this division, hosting a playoff game like they did a couple years ago when they took out the Eagles at that time. And I could see a scenario where if that happens, Jensen, and they can win that first round game down there in Tampa, we're going to be in that monetization part of that equation. So that's why I went ahead and played 30-1 here at Circa. Really good number, shop around there, but that's as good as I saw, 30-1 in Tampa Bay. So I pulled the trigger on that one. Tomorrow night, we've mentioned the Rams and the Seahawks, that this number has been flipping back and forth as the days have gone on to get the Thursday night. We don't believe Davante Adams is going to play. He's not been ruled out yet by the Rams. And Puka Nacua got a little bit nicked up in Sunday's win as well for LA. He's going to be able to go. We know that. I look at this as a pick at some spots at Circa. You're seeing the Rams now 1.5 favorite. Yesterday, Seattle was 1.5 favorite. You and I already played Seattle at the better price points there, but this thing has not hit 2. I haven't seen one side, either side, all week, even though it's fluctuated. I haven't seen 2. I wonder, Jensen, if people know that if it did hit 2, I would advise, no matter if it was Rams getting 2 or Seattle getting 2, tease that up to 8. Maybe the books are staying away from that exact equation.
It'll be great to ask Mike Palm tomorrow, because I'm anxious to see where Circa ends up closing with it. They're at pick right now, total of 44. If you like the under, grab that, because DraftKings already down to 43.5. I believe at a lot of these places, this thing opened as high as 47.5. Wow. And obviously with the Davante Adams issue, You can see why some of the offensive firepower is a little bit more baked in if indeed the reports are that he is unlikely to suit up. I still think it's a game time decision for Sean McVay and company. I would wait as long as humanly possible to not allow Seattle to game plan any more than what they probably already would, anticipating if he did play or not. One fun play in pocket for me, a quarter unit. This is a wide receiver parlay of Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Puka Nacua, both getting 110 plus receiving yards each. That's plus 560 for a quarter unit. And as you mentioned, you and I already on the Seahawks side, I got him at plus 1.5 on DraftKings. It is just unique to see this thing jump back and forth. But let's be honest, for all intents and purposes, I think this game potentially a NFC championship preview as well. These are the two best teams overall, I think, in the NFC. And I think we get a little precursor, a little preamble to that on Thursday night up in Seattle.
You know, what do you make of this? Seattle opened up the season with a loss at home against the Niners. Then they won three in a row. And then they lost at home to the Buccaneers. Then they won four in a row. Then they lost to the Rams 21-19. And then they've won four in a row. So they've shown that after a loss, not only do they bounce back like the Lions do, right? But then they stack them up, man. And they go winning streaks of three, winning streaks of four, and another winning streak of four. With their remaining schedule here at Carolina, which could be very pivotal now for that Carolina and Buccaneers scenario, depending on what happens there. And then at the Niners, this is their last home game. Justin, if they win this thing, then it looks like the division title could come down to the last week of the season. But ironically, with the Niners. So the Niners are very much Seattle fans tomorrow night too.
And remember, it's two primetime games for the Niners before that. It's Monday Night Football in Indianapolis against Philip Rivers and company. The Colts will be playing for their season to stay alive. And then it's back home against the Bears on Sunday Night Football on Christmas weekend. So it is really intriguing for the Niners, who have been lying in the weeds a little bit. They themselves, winners of four in a row. It's been convincing. They've taken advantage of the little soft spot in their schedule with the Browns and the Titans. Two convincing wins there. Let's see what they do on the road in prime time coming up on Monday night.
Yeah, they just feel like that team that everybody's forgotten about out West, and they really shouldn't, because if Seattle does get this win tomorrow night, it's all there for the Niners to come through that back door. And if you could sweep Seattle, obviously that would give them head-to-head, and they're only one game back of Seattle right now. So you better believe that Kyle Shanahan and company, they'll say they don't care. Oh, they care. They're rooting for Seattle to get that win, and their pathway opens up big time to potentially be a one seed in the NFC. San Francisco, it's still there on the table for all of those teams out West. When we come back, let's catch up with our managing editor, Adam Burke. Again, a great deal right now on the website for the college football players out there. We'll discuss that and then some right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Going to have our Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds joining us here in the next segment. Can't wait to catch up with Wes. I'm sure he's very excited for Indiana as they get the week off to watch the college football playoff. But joining us now is our managing editor at the network. Does a great job, Adam Burke. You can give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. Joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. And speaking of college football in the playoff, we've been mentioning it. We want everybody to be VSiN Pro subscribers. $9.99 right now is an introductory offer for your first month. But there is a one-off, Adam, that you did yeoman's work, you and your crew, to get ready for everybody before we get to kick off on Friday. And that's for $14.99 right now. If you just want the college football playoff information, tell the people about it, because I do think it's really good, actionable insight before they make those wagers.
Yeah, no, I appreciate being with you guys. And you know, this is something that we typically don't do, right? We usually just have our guides as part of, you know, a big selling point for being a VSiN Pro subscriber. But for this one, we thought we'd try it out and see how it would do. And so far, it's done pretty well. But, you know, now that we're getting much closer to kickoff in the college football playoff, all the more reason to get that college football playoff betting guide, $14.99 over at VSiN.com. It's got best bets from our VSiN hosts and contributors, all of their college football playoff bracket picks as well. Nice visual pie chart breakdowns from Matt Devine, our guide editor and formatter. We got first round game previews. We got some capsules on the teams that have the buys, including, as you mentioned, Indiana. So just a comprehensive look at the upcoming playoff. We've got some power ratings brackets from Steve Mackinnon and how his numbers see this 12-team field shaking out. Side-by-side comparison of my power ratings along with Steve's and Tyler Shoemaker, the proprietor of the T-Shoe Index, who contributes to us 4 or 5 times a week over at vsin.com. So it's got something for everybody, and I highly encourage everyone to go to vsin.com/CFP and check that out.
And the icing on the cake, you and Steve both going through each of these bowl games, picking a side and a total. I can tell you I've already benefited from our first two bowl games, 2-0, from your guys' picks as well. Let's continue the winning streak. A couple of afternoon affairs, depending on where you're tuning in our great United States. First is the Staff DNA Cure Bowl, and then the 68 Ventures Bowl. Let's start Old Dominion, South Florida. Alex Golish is out. Brian Hartline going to be the new head coach at South Florida. Dave and I talked the handicap here, trying to impress the new guys, some of these kids that are sticking around, not going in the portal. But I think you and I are getting to the Old Dominion side, if I am correct, thinking this one could be much closer than the experts think.
Yeah, I mean, this one's been coming down and down and down and down as we've kind of gone through the process here. You know, obviously when Byron Brown was announced that he wasn't going to play because he's still deciding if he wants to stay at South Florida and make money there or if he wants to go somewhere else and make money here in the transfer portal. So that definitely had a big, you know, impact on the line, to be sure. He's a guy that just, I mean, he had over 4,000 yards of total offense, really, really good player, actually stayed healthy this season too, which was a big feather in his cap. But Old Dominion doesn't have their starting quarterback either in Colton Joseph. And that's a guy that was a 1,000-yard rusher himself, threw for about 2,600 yards. A really, really good player, too. And we'll see where he ends up, you know, in the portal here, which opens on January 2nd. But I think there's just more stability on the Old Dominion side right now. Ricky Ronnie signed an extension. Their coaching staff is still intact. They've been preparing more for this bowl game, whereas South Florida has been preparing more for next season. And also for the Bulls, I mean, they don't want to be playing in the Cure Bowl in Orlando. I mean, this is a team that had a legitimate shot at making the college football playoff and were unable to do so. So this is not the bowl game that they expected to be playing in or want to be playing in. So I think Old Dominion is definitely live here. Obviously, it was a better number at 3.5 or whatever you could get higher than that. Down to 2.5 now, it's a little bit trickier. But Quinn Hennickel, the backup quarterback for Old Dominion, he can run. He was a guy who was recruited to Army, had several FCS offers for run-heavy programs. I think that's going to be the difference in this game. I think Old Dominion is just going to be able to run the football, lean on the Bulls, who have a very unproven quarterback in Gaston Moore. I think this line move is correct. I played Old Dominion +3.5. At 2.5, it's a little bit dicier. Maybe you just go ahead and take the money line if you like the Monarchs here.
Seeing +$1.24 here on ODU, my neck of the woods here in the 757 on the money line prices here, $1.20 out there at Circa as well. 68 Ventures Bowl is going to be today as well. Louisiana is 3-point favorites against Delaware. That total pretty high at 62.5. Any leans here, Adam?
Yeah, a lean is a good way to put it. I mean, we're putting up these bowl previews with at least 72 hours lead time. We're going to have a pick on every one of them. Some will certainly be stronger than others, and this is not one that I have a super, super strong opinion on. But Louisiana is a proven, you know, Sun Belt program here. I mean, they've gone to a bowl more often than they haven't. Delaware's a team, you know, first time in a bowl game. And it's a great accomplishment for them. I mean, it's awesome for a team that, you know, was making the FCS playoffs pretty regularly. But the thing about these transitioning programs from the FCS to the FBS, they just don't have a lot of depth. You know, they don't have the same scholarship availability at the FCS level, and they just haven't really built up that FBS caliber depth yet. And we kind of saw that with Delaware late in the season, where offensively, for the most part, they were okay. But defensively, they started to show a lot of cracks against the run, gave up 13 rushing touchdowns in the month of November. And Louisiana is a team that wants to run the football, much like Old Dominion in the first game. So Louisiana, I think, can kind of lean on them throughout the course of this game, kind of wear Delaware down a bit. Delaware, I just don't think that they have the depth, the fresh bodies at this time of the year to face a team that wants to run it down their throat for 60 minutes here. So I lean Louisiana -3. This number is kind of, you can find some 2.5s with extra juice out there. But this total continues to go up too to 62.5, which Delaware's got a really good passing game. So maybe this one could go over the total. But again, not a strong opinion for me, but I do lean with the Raging Cajuns in this one.
All right. Total is a great segue. It's the first time we've really been able to dive into the college football playoff with you on the air here. And Berkey, it's been a pretty significant side for both Dave and I, the under in this first game between Alabama and Oklahoma. Brent Venables and crew, it's been an under machine, especially home games there in Norman. Is there a first round game that you have the most conviction on, whether it be side or total, and why?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say the most conviction, we can get back to Alabama, Oklahoma if we have time. The most conviction I have is Texas A&M -3. I played at -3.5. I make the line 5.5 here, so I'm sitting on a little bit of a bad number with 3.5, given that the market is mostly 3 across the board. But you've got two really, really good defenses here, two excellent defensive lines specifically. Texas A&M tied with the aforementioned Oklahoma in sacks with 41. Miami was up there as well. But I think the difference maker in that game, where the defensive lines should rule the day, is that Marcel Reed can actually move. Marcel Reed can run around a little bit. Carson Beck is not a very mobile quarterback. He's kind of more of a pocket passer. Maybe you can roll the pocket a little bit and give him a little bit more time, but he's not going to be able to, give you some third and shorts that Marcel Reed might be able to give you in a game where I think the defenses will star and will stand out. So I think that's ultimately the difference in this game. The fact that Reed is mobile. Certainly, I think Mike Elko over Mario Cristobal is an advantage that the Aggies have too. And of course, being at home, doesn't hurt here in the first round of the playoffs. But I like Texas A&M -3. Like I said, I'm sitting on 3.5. Not sure if I'm going to add to it at 3. But I do think that the Aggies, because of the mobility at the quarterback position, do have the edge in that game.
And I know both you guys do like that under. It's come down. Maybe they're listening because it's down to 49.5 in some spots, as high as 51, 51.5. Earlier in the week. Let's get back to that Bama game. It's going to be the first one here against Oklahoma. Of course, they lost down there in Tuscaloosa to Oklahoma late in the year. They are 1.5 favorites, and it's interesting because I asked Jensen earlier in the program, no matter which side you like, do you think that Alabama should actually still be the favorite on the road laying a 1.5?
So after I made some adjustments, kind of looking at the profiles for both teams and all of that, I make Oklahoma a 0.5-point favorite at home. So this is a coin flip game through and through, in my opinion. And I understand you can make a case for both sides, and I've heard very compelling cases for both sides in this one, and understandably so, right? I mean, Oklahoma won the first game, but Alabama outgained them pretty comfortably. It was an 87-yard pick six, 10-14-point swing that made the difference in that game. Oklahoma has not looked good offensively at all whatsoever, but this defense is truly legit. I'm coming around to, and I haven't played it yet, but I'm coming around to the Oklahoma side in this game, which is kind of a pivot from what I initially thought based on the regular season matchup that we saw. But guys, I don't think Ty Simpson is healthy. He looked really, really bad against Auburn. Didn't look good against Georgia. I think that there's definitely something going on there. John Mateer, a little bit of extra time to get healthy, kind of get back into rhythm a little bit. And I think also, while Mateer had a pretty high volume of carries in the second half of the season, even after coming back from the injury, I think this is a scenario, much like Ohio State last year with Will Howard, where they didn't run Will Howard much during the regular season because they had no depth at the quarterback position and they knew it. I think Oklahoma may have a more deliberate game plan to have Mateer run because we saw that as such a big part of his game at Washington State. Now you've got to let it all hang out when you get to the college football playoffs. So maybe that's something that sparks this Oklahoma offense a little bit. Mateer kind of getting out with more designed runs instead of scrambling away from, coverage sacks and stuff like that. So I'm kind of coming around on the Oklahoma side here again, with a big part of it being, I just don't think that Ty Simpson is anywhere near 100%.
That's the worry. It's what Jensen and I talked about too a lot this week, Adam, that I'm on the side of Bama, but that worries me that Ty Simpson is just not healthy against a really good defense. Great stuff, Berkey. Appreciate that. Everybody get the guide. If you do not have it yet, $14.99 right now, standalone for the college football playoff. When we come back, Wednesdays with Wes. He's next right here. Beeson by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
Great conversation with Adam Burke in the last segment. We always look forward to our Wednesdays with Wes conversations right now with our guy, Wes Reynolds. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds, and the number one joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Wes, we were talking during the break. We give you truth serum to start. And you're an honest guy anyway, so we don't have to give you the serum because you're going to give us the straight anyway. As an Indiana guy, and you're waiting to play the Rose Bowl in Pasadena on New Year's Day, Would you rather play Alabama or would you rather play Oklahoma?
Oof. You know, that's it's kind of a coin flip, to be honest with you, because Alabama, a little bit better on offense, especially with explosive plays in the passing game. But Oklahoma, I think a tougher defense. But I think if you're Indiana, I think the way Kurt Cignetti and his guys are approaching this is like, doesn't matter who we play, we'll take on all comers. You know, we're going to get somebody from the SEC, either Alabama or Oklahoma. So this is a big prove it game, I think, for Indiana. So I think that they don't care who they play. I might rather have Oklahoma because I think they're less likely to beat you on an explosive play, but there's not much difference between these two teams. And I think the number being pretty much stuck at Alabama -1 really indicates that.
Wes, I tend to agree and anxious to see the health of Ty Simpson there when we get underway on Friday night against that vaunted Sooner defense. On Saturday, any of those three games that really stick out to you as far as maybe a potential play, whether it be a first half, full game, side total, anything that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, I played a couple, Jensen. The early game, the 9 a.m. Pacific kickoff, Miami and Texas A&M down there in College Station. I played the under 51, and it's starting to drop a little bit. You have two top 20 defenses, by the way, with the Canes and with the Aggies. I think that this is going to be a little bit of a slower pace game, maybe a little bit more deliberate. I think the strength, especially on the Miami side, is really with the defense. And the offensive line is a strength. So I think you're going to see Cristobal and company, Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator, they're going to run the ball, I think, a little bit and trust that running game a little bit more. And we know Texas A&M can not only have a pure traditional running game, but also with Marcel Reed at quarterback. So I think if this game stays close, and I think it will based on the fact that it's a 3-point spread, you're going to see these guys get tight late. So I don't think you're going to see these guys going up and down the field. So I played under 51. And then the afternoon game there in Oxford, first game for the Rebels without Lane Kiffin. So this is obviously huge for them. They get a rematch with Tulane, who they drummed pretty easily in the regular season. I'm a little bit gun shy to lay like a big spread for a full game to get margin, because if Ole Miss is up late, you got to be thinking, okay, we got Georgia on deck next, boys, in the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day night. So we don't want to get anybody hurt. Maybe discretion's a better part of valor. But I think in the first half, they come out fired up. And I laid the 9.5. It's starting to see some 10 out there, because I think Ole Miss, they're going to be the team with the chip on its shoulder, because it's like our coach just left us. And now we're playing at home in front of the most supportive crowd that we could possibly get, because the coach abandoned us to go to another program. So we're going to be out to prove something. So I think Ole Miss is ready to play from the opening kickoff under their new coach, Pete Golding.
Laying 9.5 in that first half and playing under 51 in that Miami Texas A&M game, which is already down to 49.5. So you get a really good number. What about tomorrow night? Because in the NFL here, when you look at Seattle and the Rams, Jensen and I were kind of talking about it. Boy, I think the Niners are big Seattle fans, because they could kind of backdoor this thing if Seattle can get the equalizer tomorrow night against L.A. And really make this a three-horse race down the stretch in the final 2 weeks of the regular season for these teams after Thursday night. What do you make of tomorrow night's matchup? This number has fluctuated from 1.5s to pick'ems and back and forth. What do you see happening?
Yeah, and I'm not surprised to see the Rams as the favorite here, considering they've already beaten Seattle earlier this year. And if you really look at the trends, 11-3 the last 14 against the number against Seattle, 5-0 in the last five, 11-2 the last 13 the Rams have played on the road, 17-5 since December of 2024, just overall against the number. But it's what I always say about trends: make them your acquaintances and not your friends. And also the fact that trends don't pay the rent here. So I like Seattle, and I'm going against the grain a little bit, because Seattle, let's be honest, they were down in the final minute against Old Man Rivers. The Colts, they hit a 60-yard field goal. The Colts are going to steal that game in Seattle, right? And then Jason Myers kicks a 56-yarder and they hang on and survive. So the perception of Seattle right now is that they're pretty weak in the market. It's like, you could barely beat Phillip Rivers, who, you know, they weren't even throwing down the field really with the 44-year-old quarterback. So the perception's low on Seattle. Perception is high on the Rams, because they came back from double digits down to beat the Lions. So, and Seattle played bad against the Rams the first time, still had a chance to steal the game at the end, but Darnold, I think, threw four interceptions in the game earlier this year. But I'm going to go with the Seahawks. There are still some plus ones out there, so you'd rather take them as the small home dog. So give me Seattle.
All right. Great minds think alike. We all will be tailing Sam Darnold and company, so it'll be great to see what happens tomorrow night. Also be great in prime time to see what's all of a sudden become a massive game of implications for Baltimore and for New England. Side for you in this one, Wes, and will we see this run defense from the Patriots be able to try and contain King Henry and potentially Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, Baltimore, it feels like a lost season, even though it's not over. And they've had injuries, and Lamar hasn't looked like Lamar. Like, he hasn't been the same. He's been off this year. It's obvious when you watch them, and the fact that they're 7-7 kind of fighting for their playoff lives and still not in the lead in the AFC North. But I'm going to go with them on the money line here. I think they get it done on Sunday night. Eventually ended up being against New England last Sunday, and the Bills did what they do. They circled the wagons, as Boomer would say, and came back from way down against New England. And I wonder how that's going to affect New England's psyche, if there's a little bit of carryover from the next week, because they had won, what, like 10 in a row, and they come off the bye. And the worst thing that happens sometimes when you get a bye week, even though you always want them to, you know, nurse injuries, you don't want to stop playing when you're winning games in a row. And New England had won all these games in a row, and Buffalo, credit to Josh Allen and those guys, they fought back. So maybe a little bit of hangover effect here against a Baltimore team that is very desperate at home. So you've got it at a week three right now, three even money, three minus $1.05. I just laid the money line here. I think the Ravens get it done and keep their playoff hopes alive.
Wes, my VEASAN streak, it started way back with me and you back in the day. I would play those Cowboy overs in the big Mike McCarthy era, and those would cash easily for me. I played the Cowboys over 7.5 this year, and I'm in jeopardy of losing for the first time here, Wes, if they don't get two of the last three wins here down the stretch. What about against the Chargers this week? Because I'm surprised Dallas is small favorites, but maybe that doesn't catch you by surprise.
It doesn't, Dave, and I think you're going to at least get a sweat out of this, because I think the Cowboys are going to get a win here. I've been waiting for spots, and look, I've gotten my hand caught in the cookie jar a couple times trying to fade the Chargers, who are 10-4 somehow, despite the fact that they can't block anybody up front. Despite the fact that Justin Herbert, who's a tough guy, gets the hell beat out of him every week by opposing defenses, they found a way to win in Kansas City, and it's like they come off now. They vanquished the Kansas City Chiefs. They eliminated the Goliath from the playoffs in that AFC West division. Now you go to Dallas, where it seemed like, boy, did their season end on Sunday losing at home to Minnesota. I don't think so, necessarily. I think Dallas has a little bit more left. The offense is good enough. I think they can get pressure on Justin Herbert. So I like the Cowboys on the money line against the Chargers. I'm not buying this Chargers team, even though they've got a very good record.
All right, last one from me. And buddy, if we were together, not at Lucas Oil Stadium, we would be probably holed up in some Massachusetts Avenue watering hole watching Philip Rivers at home on display against the 49ers. I tend to agree with you. I think the home dog is the right side here. How did you get to that side besides wanting to see old Phil go up in prime time?
Yeah, I bought it to 7. There's some 6.5. I bought it to 7 here. Desperate times for the Colts. I mean, this is to save your season right now and keep your slim playoff hopes, I think, alive against San Francisco. San Francisco, to me, they've weathered the storm. Kyle Shanahan's done a tremendous job. He absolutely should be in line for Coach of the Year with all the injuries they face. But, man, if you look at that schedule, guys, who they face, they had Tennessee the bye week before at Cleveland, Carolina, at Arizona, ever since that loss to the Rams on November 9th. So San Francisco has really taken advantage of, I think, a very soft schedule and have been very fortunate in these games. So Indianapolis back against the wall, supportive crowd, wanting to root the old man home, you know, get Philip Rivers home somehow, some way. And the fact that he does have at least another week, I think at least it gives them chance to diversify the game plan a little bit more. Shane Steichen maybe design some stuff down the field, because the Colts are very good at taking deep shots, but they didn't do much on Sunday. But Indianapolis at home, touchdown underdog to save their season. I think you get a good effort out of the horseshoe on Monday night.
Wes, you're the best. We appreciate you. This time next week when we're talking, you'll be just about a week away from getting to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl with Indiana. Can't wait to see who they're playing. Will it be Oklahoma or Alabama. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds, the number one. If you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, you want more VSiN, all you have to do is go to the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin, they're up next with a numbers game.